We've been trying to keep things clear and simple on the back of the bulletin as we get closer and closer. So do know poinsettias. If you'd like to help make the poinsettias happen, you can fill a form out and provide one of the poinsettias in memory or in honor of someone. You'll find those forms by all the doors. We do, of course, I mentioned the pageant. I really want to highlight the Blue Christmas service next Sunday, 7 p.m. It's the first time we've done one in a long time here. It is a service for all of those things about the holidays that aren't jingle bells and ho-ho-ho. Whether you lost a loved one this year or years ago, and this is just a hard time, whether you lost a relationship, a job, whether you're just lonely or frustrated, whatever, any of those non-merry and bright feelings, if you're not ready to sing Joy to the World yet, this is the kind of service where we get together and we create space for that. It'll be very important, it'll be very powerful, and I invite you to join us next Sunday, 7 p.m. here. So do hear the invitation for that. And I also want to, again, just highlight Christmas Eve. We're doing three services this year, 4, 6, and 8. 4 o'clock is our children and family-focused service. It's got the puppet that'll be here. It'll be great. All three services have candles. All of them have Silent Night. All of them have a live nativity as we tell the story. It'll come to life with people in costume. It's going to be wonderful. The evening service at 6 and 8, it's the same service two times in a row, so you pick either one. We'll have communion. It will have O Holy Night. It's just going to be a beautiful time to celebrate the season together. So please, don't just join us. Invite your friends, your family, your neighbors. Be ready to answer questions when they're like, so what are you doing on Christmas Eve? Please invite them to be with us. I'd love to invite our acolytes to bring the light in this morning, reminding us of God's presence here today.
God from the prophet Zephaniah. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a protector who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing.
The Christmas story does not begin on a dark night in a stable. The story begins long before that. But the Christmas story is a story of God responding to the world's need for love. Love the world cried out for over generations. God's response was to become fully present, to be with us, making God's home here on earth, to know and live life as we do.
Nor does the Christmas story end on a dark night in a stable. For this story of relationship begins again each and every year. We need not see a star to know the precious gift that Christmas brings, for our world still cries out for love, and God will come to be with us, bringing love once more, and so we are invited to come together to put our differences aside and find ourselves at home with God's love. Let us pray together as found in your bulletin. God of love, we pray that the light of your love would shine in our hearts, for our world needs more than a candle. Let us reach out our hands to the family of humanity to share the love we feel at Christmas time as you once again arrive to be with us and to call our world home. Amen.
Let us sing Light One Candle together. The words are found in your bulletin.
Good morning. Would you please rise as you are able and join me in our call to worship found in your bulletin. We are invited to celebrate together, to gather around and share. Moments of joy are better together,
and difficult moments less heavy.
For in our gathered presence, we experience love. Our love for one another, and God's love for all people. A love God proclaimed in a manger so many years ago.
A love God still proclaims through our living.
Our opening hymn is number 219 in the red hymnal, What Child Is This?
Please be seated as we celebrate the sacrament of baptism with the Horn family. London, it's so good to see you, and you brought special people with you today. I know, it's going to be great. This morning we get to celebrate baptism with, I'm going to ask, let's sort of tuck around a little bit further. They want to see too. There we go. Okay. This morning we get to celebrate the baptism of London Horn, daughter of Brian and Carrie Horn. Now, London is 2 years old. And today we celebrate not only her, but also the beautiful home in which she is being raised, a home that carries a couple different spiritual traditions of having grown up Presbyterian and been a church person most of your life, and as one who is a spiritual person, but wouldn't necessarily say I'm a church person. There's good company here that very much identifies with that understanding. And this is what we celebrate, God's love for all people, and that it's a part of life in so many special ways. Now, London, your name also carries some special meaning with it, which is great. Your middle name, Vera, is actually the name of one of the waterfalls down, is it Crested Butte, where your family is from? And one of the places that I think it's easy for anyone to experience something divine in that beautiful setting. And you carry that with you, and it's just a wonderful thing to share. Now, I also want to highlight a special outfit that she is wearing today. Now, her baptism dress is made of Carrie's wedding shawl. And then they took Grandma's wedding dress and pulled some of the little flowers off and incorporated those in. And so you've got that beautiful tradition. And that work was done by a good family friend, Miss Sue Stevenson, who is here. And she was able to take those two beautiful dresses and turn them into something special for you for this day. Now, we also have special guests with, of course, grandparents, but also members of the congregation, Nancy and Bill Williams, and also godmother, Gwendolyn Doyle, who's going to serve as your godmother, and she's here because she loves you so much. Now, Brandon has London's baptism candle, and we invite you to light the candle on the anniversary of this day every year. London, you're starting to have some memories, but as you get older, this may not be as clear, and so we'll light the candle each year, and you can be like, why are we doing this? And they'll be like, because we baptized you, and then you'll ask, well, why did you baptize me? And great conversation will ensue. It'll be fun. Members of the faith community, baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace of God. It's through this grace that we are invited to new life and welcomed into the family of God. In receiving baptism, we are initiated into a fellowship that we call the church. And so on behalf of that church, I ask you these questions. Do you believe there is something more in this world worth exploring? And do you desire to explore it along with London, with the people of this community? If so, please answer, we do. We do. Do you promise to live a life that models God's love in London's presence? To be careful that she be taught that same kind of life, that she be shown the scriptures and led into the worship of God? If so, please answer, we do. And will you lead her into following a faith journey that honors your family heritage, allowing her to be shaped by communities of faith and the kind of spirituality that will help love and support her until she can find her own faith and become a full participant in her own right? If so, please answer, we will.
We will.
And will you as a godmother offer her another presence, another place of love and support, reminding her of how special and wonderful she is? If so, please say, I will. Wonderful. Denise, would you help pass the water up here? We're going to ask Grandma to pour the water in the bowl this morning. She'll bring it around for you. Yeah, so Nancy, if you'll pour the water in, and then while I pray, Gwen will ask if you'll stir the water. And London, if you want to help splash in the water, you are welcome too, okay? Awesome. Let us pray. We are people of the water, and we celebrate this symbol of your love that flows like water. For love like a rain shower awakens the sleeping seed in the soil. Love like a wading pool inspires the delight of children. Love like a hot shower cleanses and refreshes, and love like little drops drips from fingertip to forehead. It is through this gift of grace the family of faith makes room for more as we claim your boundless love and ask your blessing upon this water, O God. Steep this family and this congregation in your boundless grace. Amen. What name is given this child?
London Vera.
London, come here a second. You can bring Dad with you, okay? London, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and pray God's blessings upon you. Now, the other thing we're going to do is I'm going to put a little cross on your forehead with some oil. Should I show you on Mom first? Would that be cool? See, I just take it and I go like this, just like that, okay? You're like, I wasn't watching, but that's okay. London, we pray that you would live a life of love, growing in what that means each and every day, so that we all might grow with you. Amen. I'll invite you to grab the insert in your bulletin, if you would. People of Highlands United Methodist Community of Faith, I commit to your love and care, London Vera Horn, who we recognize as a member of the family of God. Will you help welcome her in the fullness of this love as we respond together? London Vera Horn, We joyfully recognize you as a member of the family of God. With God's help, we will live our lives by the example of Christ, that you may be surrounded by love, formed in faith, and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. Amen. Highlands, I get to present to you London Vera Horn. You can clap. Well, she doesn't want to get lifted. We're good. Do you want to walk around with Dad and see everybody? Does that work? We're going to sing Jesus Loves Me, and she's going to take a little lap around to say hi. Okay. You can wave it.
I now invite all the children to come forward for children's time.
How are you?
There are cookies behind there. I know. That is super exciting. It is so good to see each and every single one of you today. So today, as we watch the candle of love be lit, we realize that we can show love in so many different ways. We can show love by actually saying, I love you to someone, right? By hugging someone. We can show love by using our gifts. Or yes, or kissing, yep. By using our gifts, with our talents, artistic drawing, writing, building something with our hands. So there's many different ways that we can show love. One of the most important and significant ways to show love is by helping one another, to be in service to one another. And every second Sunday of the month, we have our Kids for Change ministry, where you guys go and collect loose coins, dollar bills for people all over the world who are struggling with malaria. And that is a way that you are in service, that you are showing love to people all over the world. Not just kids, adults, grandparents, aunts, uncles, everyone. And it's amazing ministry. Last year we raised $1,200. I'm unsure what we have yet this year, but next month we will have that number. So be proud of yourselves for this ministry. And if you want to come over here and collect these
There are bins, a lot of them this morning. Pace yourself as they come by.
And any loose coins, dollar bills.
Thank you.
And we might need to share some of the bins.
Ready? Can I take one of these? So you can take one, yep.
Perfect.
You're welcome. Let's see. Here, Joey, can you pair up with this girl? Can you guys be partners in this? Can you guys walk around together? No? How about this? How about you come help? Can you help me find one? Let's go find one. Let's see if we can find one. Can you go get the dollar and go place it in a bin?
So if you guys want to start making your way back and place the buckets right back where you found them.
Good work.
That's okay. And thank you to Margaret and the other helpers who each month come and count these coins for us before we send it to the bank. So you're very much appreciated. All right. Good work. All right. Let's all come back together, take a big deep breath, and let's say a prayer together, shall we? Dear God, the love in this room is real. May you guide us all out into the world to continue to share love. And may I always remember that you love me. Amen. And Annika, would you start us in the children's motto? In all that we think, in all that we say, in all that we do, may we glorify you. Amen. So today, all the kids are going to go downstairs into the fellowship hall to practice the pageant, so we will not be in the other room, so just meet your kids downstairs.
So much. We come in our service to a time of prayer, and we always take a few moments to listen for the joys and concerns within our community that we might hold them in one another's prayers, not just this morning, but in the week or weeks to come, reminded that the joys and concerns that we share are one of the things that connect us as people. And so I wonder what we might hold in prayer for one another this day, joy or concern. What's going on for folks? Anybody? Checking back there. Karen? Yeah, for all those traveling, certainly. Thank you, Karen. Others this morning? Wayne? Wayne's friend Jack, keeping Jack in our prayers this morning, certainly. Certainly. Yes, sir. Absolutely. We'll be keeping Gary in our prayers. It was good to see him this week, and we'll continue to keep you both. We know that that journey isn't taken alone. Certainly. Wendy. So the loss of a friend's dad. So prayers for Brian and his family. Absolutely. On a joy side, the Burrow family, we did actually baptism about 6 weeks ago or so for Sarah and Graham. Their little boy Carson spent the week in ICU dealing with three different respiratory viruses and pneumonia, and he's at home now. They were very glad to get to take him back home on Friday. A little tiny thing with all the cords and things. It's always tough, so we're very glad that he's healed well. Other joys or concerns? Yes, ma'am.
We've mentioned keeping those with depression issues, mm-hmm. emotional issues. Don't forget the teenagers. Mm-hmm. We, at our school, have had that come to the forefront this weekend. Okay. I pray for our kids.
So praying for all those who live with, struggle with, deal with depression or isolation, other mental health issues that can manifest in so many ways, and recognizing that that can be so prevalent for teenagers, especially as they are coming into their own that way. And we'll also keep in our prayers those who care for them. I would invite you to grab your red hymnal, if you would. We're going to sing the fourth verse of In the Bleak Midwinter. And then we take a minute in silence. Not like a moment, but like a real minute, just to create space. For some of us, that feels like a lifetime. For others, it feels like it couldn't be long enough. And so we'll take that minute. And then instead of me offering words as a prayer, we're going to do what we did last week. We're going to let a song be the pastoral prayer this day. And so we will allow the words of still, still, still to bring us into further into that space of prayer. If you'd like to come kneel at the rail during this time, please hear the invitation to do so.
Thank you.
I'd invite you to grab that red hymnal again. We spend a lot of time in the 200s of that book during the Advent season. Turn to 217 as we sing Away in a Manger. Is it Christmas yet? This question gets asked multiple times a day in our house right now. It's the first question I hear in the morning. It's the last question I hear at night. It's the question I hear pretty much any time my son gets my attention. Is it Christmas yet? Not yet, son. Not yet. But that's a good answer. Not yet is a good answer, because if you were to ask me the question, Brad, are you ready for Christmas? My answer would be, not yet. We want those not yets to be in line with each other. We're spending these weeks of Advent getting the answers to both of those questions. Is it Christmas yet, and are we ready? We're spending this time trying to get them to match so that we'll answer yes to both of them at the same time. We see the lights of hope and peace burning brightly, and we hold in our hearts the possibility of both. Hope we can find when we make time to experience this journey with intention. Peace that we can experience when we're reminded of how the story of Christmas can be found, and that our story can be found within it. Hope and peace bring light to our journey. And this week, the Advent wreath is even brighter as we add a third candle, the candle of love. Today, we celebrate that we are able to receive God's love. And we reflect on how we can respond to the love of Christmas. For love has arrived. We return this week in our scriptures. We return to a story that actually we used to begin the first week of Advent. So often at Christmas times, it seems as if the Christmas story begins, in those days a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. You know, that's where the Christmas story starts. At least that's where Linus starts it. So that means that's where the Christmas story starts. You know, the census begins a journey that leads to this all too familiar setting. You know, the big one there, the little one on the altar, maybe the one you have in your own home. But as we've heard our Advent lighters read each week, the Christmas story doesn't begin in a stable in Bethlehem. It begins long before that. And even the Gospel of Luke begins before those words. You see, Mary's cousin Elizabeth is expecting a child, actually the first baby of the Christmas story. Mary's cousin Elizabeth is expecting a child that will become John the Baptist. Her husband, Zechariah, has lost the ability to speak until that child is born because he couldn't believe what the angel said, and so the angel offered him some quiet time to wrap his mind around it. Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when the next part of our story unfolds. Hear these words from the first chapter of Luke. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a young woman who was engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. He was of the house of David. This young woman's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." She was very perplexed by his words, and she pondered what sort of a greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will know no end." Skipping ahead just a bit. In those days, Mary set out and went quickly to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted her cousin Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child in her own womb leapt with joy, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the scriptures continue. Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned home. Now, there's more to this story, and you can find it in the first chapter of Luke, but we really wanted to highlight and look this morning at Mary's experience of finding out about this news and her reaction to it. You see, this little vignette is easily overlooked. Mary and Elizabeth just hanging out, being pregnant together. It's not the most impressive part of the Christmas story. I mean, Zechariah gets an angel, Mary gets an angel, Joseph gets a dream, the shepherds get a multitude of the heavenly host, the magi get a star. There are some pretty flashy and awesome parts of the Christmas story. Two pregnant ladies hanging out isn't the most exciting scripture reading, but it tells us something about receiving and responding to God's love. You see, Mary has just received life-changing news. In fact, the whole world has just received life-changing news. Actually, Mary has just received life-changing news that will change the world. And how does she respond to this? Now, yes, there's some beautiful words that she quotes from the Old Testament as she offers this word in response about the joy God has brought her, but I skipped over that today. Her words are beautiful, but her actions tell us about her response. She goes to be with Elizabeth. Mary responds to God's love by seeking out relationship. She needs to be together with someone. And she needs to be together with someone who's dealing with what she's dealing with. I mean, look, Joseph seems like a really great guy. But what does he really know about angels telling you you're pregnant with a holy child? I can just hear it. Yeah, go back to the woodshop, Joe. I'm going to go see Elizabeth. I mean, this is a big moment. And how convenient is it that Mary has a cousin who totally gets the whole angel promise sacred child thing? I mean, seriously, small world. But this is part of the story. And it's meant to be that obvious. Here is Elizabeth with a holy child, and here is Mary with a holy child, and they go to be together. The best way to respond to God's love is to seek out relationship. And that's still true today. You, each of you, are about to receive God's ultimate gift of love, and we need to be together. How convenient is it that the people around you right now are also receiving God's ultimate gift of love? Small world. I think about those 3 months that Mary and Elizabeth spent together. And I think about what it must have been like for the two of them. I mean, sharing in their confusion and their excitement. Sharing together in the wonder and amazement. Sharing together in morning sickness and frequent trips to pee. I mean, these are things that the two of them share together and understand and know. Some of it's very practical and human. Some of it is ineffable and divine. But throughout all of it, they are together. They were confused together. They were curious together. What is God doing? They were hopeful together. They were a little anxious together. Same question. What is God doing? This is part of our Christmas story, and we are invited to do the same. We are invited to come and be together, to be curious, to be confused, to be scared, to be hopeful, to share our experiences from the practical and the human to the ineffable and the divine. Because that's what love is about. It's about being together in those kinds of things. It's about relationship. Christmas is about God coming to be together with us. And Christmas is about us coming together as we respond to that love. As we spend our Christmas together, we are using different traditions each week that feel like home. We're using these traditions to help you take something home with you as well, to add some depth and meaning to your Christmas. The tradition of the Advent wreath reminds us of the importance of expectancy and anticipation. The tradition of Christmas music can bring us peace. Next week, the tradition of Christmas trees and ornaments will help us express our joy. Each of these traditions carry as much sacred meaning as they do sentimental enjoyment. And today is no exception. Can I have the ushers come forward, please? Of all of the many traditions of Christmas that are symbols of love, cookies are my favorite. We brought enough to share. Thank you. Of all the many, many traditions, go for it, pass them. Of all the many traditions of Christmas that are symbols of love, my favorite is cookies. You see, Christmas cookies to me are about relationship. Whether there are children making a mess trying to help, or if they're made in a quiet kitchen all alone, cookies are about relationship. You see, when they're baked as a group activity, they're about that time spent together, traditions being passed on, and memories made. My favorite memories with both of my grandmothers center around cookie baking. Getting to help, getting to taste the dough, getting covered in flour as we rolled them out and cut them or spooned them onto the baking sheets. Cookies are about relationship. But they don't have to be baked in some sort of busy, extroverted environment to be about relationship. When baked alone, cookies are about the people they will be given to, the investment of time in creating something that can be enjoyed. Opening the door to see a little plate of homemade cookies all tied up with a bow waiting on your porch is a very special moment between baker and receiver, whether words are ever exchanged or not. Cookies are a form of food. Now, my wife would remind me that they are a sometimes food, but they are food, and that's also part of their sacred nature because sharing food together is a sacred thing. When we gather for a cookie baking party like we had 35 folks do this year before the tree lighting, we're creating something together. When we eat cookies, as we are this morning, we're breaking bread together. No, we didn't sing any liturgy, and it may not be communion, but it is communal. You know, in these relationships, the cookies, they can span generations this way. The molasses cookies that were on the trays, those are one of my family recipes. Joey and I talk about my Grandma Ruth whenever we make them, and her memory is alive in our kitchen when we do so. The salted chocolate chip cookies were made by our community coordinator, Erin, and they're one of her favorite recipes. It's one she got from her mom. She bakes those cookies with her daughter. She shares them with her neighbors. We're connected to the people. Brandon asked me a great question this morning. I love this. He was like, so when people use the phrase, my grandma's recipe, did like your grandma make that recipe? And I'm like, no, I don't think so. But it's the recipe my grandma used, so it's my grandma's recipe. And it was someone else's grandma's recipe and someone else's grandma's recipe. And someday, maybe it gets to be somebody's grandpa's recipe when I pass it on. As you leave today, we have a cookie cutter for every household. You'll find them in the baskets by every door. We have a cookie cutter for every household. Attached to them, you'll also find Aaron's salted chocolate chip cookie recipe. And I included actually a different one. I included my Grandma Lorvik's gingerbread recipe. And I believe you got it out of the Lutheran cookbook from the small town in Minnesota where you were, but that doesn't matter. It's her recipe. I invite you to share the love of cookies. Let me rephrase that, because I think I love cookies no matter what. I invite you to use cookies to share love. Bake with someone. Bake alone and give them to someone. If neither of those things strike your fancy, appreciate someone else's cookie and hang the cookie cutter on your tree as an ornament. But remember love. Because it's not about the sweet molasses or the salted chocolate goodness. It's about the relationship. It's about being a part of something together. A moment, a connection, a memory. God's perfect, life-changing, world-changing love is arriving this Christmas. And the best way for us to respond is by being together. Amen.
We have received hope, peace, and love, and Christmas is still to come. Let us reflect on the many ways we can give back to God. Our offertory prayer is found in your bulletin. Let us pray together. In response to the love you have given us, God, we offer here what we have, what we do, and even more who we are, that our generosity might transform the world. Amen.
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see Christ, whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria, let us sing
in excelsis Deo.
In excelsis Deo. Excelsis Deo.
Excelsis Deo,
Deo.
Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Oh,
You get to sing the same thing now.
Found in your bulletin. Let us join our hearts and voices together in prayer. God of relationship, you invite us to celebrate Christmas in community. Whether large or small, family or friends, the love of the holiday is expressed in connection. May we share the love we receive in the manger with the world desperately in need of connection and relationship. We give you thanks for this Advent season that invites us to spend Christmas together with you and with one another. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 3059 in the Green Hymnal, Love Has Come.
Love has come, a light in the darkness. Love shines forth in the Bethlehem skies. See, all heaven has come to proclaim it. Hear how their song of joy arises. Love, love, born unto you a Savior. Love, love, glory to God on high. Love is born, come share in the wonder. Love is God now. See the glow in the eyes of his mother. What is the name? Her heart is saying love, love, love is the name. She whispers love, love, Jesus Emmanuel. Love has come and never will leave us. Love is life everlasting and free. Love is Jesus within and among us. Love is the peace our hearts are seeking. Love, love, love is the gift of Christmas. Love, love, praise to you, God on high.
Well, I do invite you to grab a cookie cutter on the way out the door. We think there should be enough for every home to take one. Like I said, share in that, whatever that might look like or mean for you. As we leave this place, we're heading downstairs. Please join us. There is enough soup and bread for everybody to be with us for lunch. And those kids, they're going to tell us that Christmas story. And there is no finer way to hear it, because it is our story. It is a story of God's love for all people. May we be blessed and be a blessing as we seek to share that love. Amen.